wanted to do this evening is to kidnap you again, take you again to Vrindavan Dham and to Lord Chaitanya's 500th anniversary of visiting the Holy Dham. This is very significant for us, or taught us, for many reasons. The first and foremost reason is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always performed his pastimes in two compartments. One was he performed a lila, a transcendental pastime. And we will see a lot about this when we are finished. We have made the stage now free for Lord Chaitanya to appear this evening and perform one of his wonderful pastimes here. When we play theater in Krishna consciousness, we actually believe that during the theater play, the actors stop being ordinary actors. They stop being the person we know them or with which they are identified in their passports. But for the time of the play, they take on the persona of the person they are representing. In other words, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear this evening in the Lokata. We should all get ready. So my part is to show you the second part of this phenomena. I want to talk a little bit about the Acharya Lila of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That means the transcendental lessons which he performs, that which we can learn from him during these during the time of his appearance. And that will be my part this evening. So I must see. Nima, may I request you to play the mandanga this evening? Or did you want to play the flute? Is this a very good flute? It's a little bit good. It's tough.
No.
Little wrong. I think you need a little more. Kusum Sarova, please raise your hand. I think that is most of us. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that every day the gopis come to this area in Vrindavan in order to pick flowers which they will need during the midday pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Radha Kund. The divine couple requires flowers for their daily pastimes. They will decorate themselves with flowers in their hands. They will fashion different ornaments from the flowers. And we hear from Rupa Goswami that in the spiritual world, Krishna wears flower shoes. That is, shoes just made from flowers. You can imagine the Lord has transcendental feet. He has, and he uses transcendental flowers. So you can't say, well, in this world, we really can't make flower shoes. How will they be in the spiritual world? How will it be possible? It is possible. They are transcendental flowers who serve the divine couple. And so they will make flower beds, which they will come up with a very soft, soft, soft piece of cloth, very fragrant. There are many, many occasions where flowers are required in the divine pastimes of Radha Krishna. They come from this place, Kusum Sarova, the lake of flowers. Everything there is just made from flowers in this lake. So that it is said that the flowers in Kusum Sarova will be become gopis in the future, destined to serve Radha and Krishna. So from this place, and at this place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu watched for the first time Giriraj Govardhan. And then, after he had seen Govardhan and embraced the rocks, he continued onwards to the town of Govardhan, where a very special deity was waiting for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the deity called Haridev. And I want to inform you about this very extraordinary deity. Who of you has visited the Haridev Mandir, Govardhan? That is not as many as, but this is a good number of you. So we will then talk about some subject later.
Yeah.
Krishna said, no need, no need, no need. You're dressing in all this warm clothes because it's cold, but Mother Ganga flows here in Vrindavan, and if you want to take your bath, you don't need hot clothes for this. And then Krishna took the hand, he was a little baby Krishna, of his father, and pulled him to a place. Then he called, Ganga, Ganga, Ganga. And all of a sudden there was a rumbling. A chariot came, drawn by dolphins, and a white goddess was inside, and she dissolved and poured her water into the sacred place, which is called Manasa Ganga. And Krishna said, see, you have seen Mother Ganga coming? Now you can all take your bath here. So Lord Chaitanya came to this place, Manasa Ganga, and he moved a little bit to the right and then a little bit to the left, and there I saw a wonderful ancient temple, and in that temple he witnessed the deity of Haridev. And when he saw Haridev, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic feelings of love of God. And he started to dance for a long time in a way which no one had ever seen before. He danced and chanted so much that the tears of his eyes sprinkled the bodies of all the Brijvasis who saw him dancing. Would you also like to be sprinkled by the tears of Chaitanya one day? Imagine, you see the golden volcano of love taking the holy name and then erupting in ecstasy like a volcano. But he doesn't spit lava. What comes out of him are tears of love which are sprinkling the passages nearby. So while Lord Chaitanya danced, he must have remembered the story of the deity before whom he chanted and danced. And I want to tell you the story of this deity. This deity is self-manifested. It means no deity bola, people who make deities, was working on the deity. The deity himself manifested from the black stone. In fact, he did not just manifest from a black stone, he manifested from himself and became a deity. It was once, during one of the many rasa dances which took place in the Govardhan area, the gopis, Krishna, were so enlivened that their circles span out for a vast area covering the area of Chandra Sarova. It's just near to Govardhan, but also some distance away. When the moon, Chandra, saw the dance of the gopis and Krishna, he felt so surprised that he could not maintain his distance position in the sky, but he fell down to the earth. And there he fell down and struck the earth. A lake was created which you can visit today. It's very nice to come there at midnight because that is the lake of the moon. The Moon Lake. Sounds nice, no? Moon Lake. Chandra Sarova. Few of us stay close to this lake during the month of Kartik in this area. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking about the rasa dance, and then he saw in his inner eye, a particular sweet scene. Krishna, in order to increase the love of the gopis, had disappeared from them. This morning we heard why Krishna disappears sometimes from his devotees. Do you know why?
To increase love.
To increase love. Yes, with your nice Russian accent. To increase love. Yes. That's why the Lord disappears. And is not immediately responsive to his devotees. Because sometimes in the absence of what is beloved, you think higher of it. Think about it. Some of you feel tired. Oh no, another katha. But when you are away in Frankfurt or in Switzerland or in Lake Di Como in Italy, and you think of Goloka Dham, you would give everything to be in this katha. Sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. And therefore, for increasing love, the Lord sometimes removes himself from the sight of his devotees. So the Lord had disappeared from the gopis on that day. The gopis were grief-stricken. They went to Govardhan, and they remembered Krishna. Can you imagine what devotees who think of Krishna think of? There are four items or four parts of Krishna's personality which the gopis always think of. It's always in the Bhagavatam verse. First, they think of Krishna's glances. Krishna looks from the corner of his eyes, and as he looks to the side, you know, the corners, his glance transports a special quality. It's called sudaka, auspiciousness. And anyone who is seen by the Lord, sees his glances, is really not just bathed in the glance itself, but bathed in auspiciousness. Therefore, those who have even only once been seen by the sweet glances of Krishna will always remember the way they felt that the rain of auspiciousness came over them as the Lord glanced upon them. Then, what the gopis always remember is Krishna's smile. Krishna smiles always, even if he fights with the demon. He smiles and he liberates them. It's not that he gets angry. Balaram gets so angry when he fights with demons that his eyes become red, hot copper. And Lord Ramachandra also can sometimes become very angry. But Krishna always smiles, and therefore his eyes are always cool, and they are compared to the cooling lotus flower. Yes. They remembered his charming words. Sometimes the gopis cried for Krishna, and then Krishna suddenly appeared, and you know what he said to them? I come. Now look at me. Imagine one day in your life the Lord may stand before you, and you know what he says? I have come. Now look at me to your full satisfaction. These are very charming words. So his glances, his smile, his charming words, and finally they remember the way he walks and the way he dances. Do you know how Krishna looks when you look from the back to him as he walks? How does his gait look? I know this is difficult. Still, we need to learn. He looks like an intoxicated elephant. Have you seen an elephant? Label this, label this, left, right. If he's intoxicated, he moves a little bit stronger. So he looks like an intoxicated elephant from the back. Maybe you want to go to the Frankfurt Zoo tomorrow and see an intoxicated elephant. Then you get some little idea, but much more beautiful, of course. So they meditated on his glances, his smile, his charming word, and the way he walks, and the way he dances. They remembered this. And as they remembered Krishna, they felt, oh, where is Krishna? When a devotee feels separated from Krishna, do you know what he does? He sings his name, and as he sings the name of the Lord, he feels he associates with Krishna through sound. It's good if you chant, that you call out for Krishna. When you chant, you should not be tired with your heart. Your heart should be alive and call out for Krishna. Then it is real kirtan. You do only lip kirtan, that is partial kirtan, but if you chant with your heart, that is sampurna, full kirtan. So very quickly, as they were chanting, their feelings increased and came to a pitch until they could no longer speak anything anymore. So they shouted out, "Oh Hari Dev!
Oh Hari Dev!
Oh Hari!
Oh Hari!
Oh Deva!
Oh Deva!
Oh Lord of our lives!
Oh Lord of our lives!
Sranaraj!
Sranaraj!
Mukunda!
Mukunda!
Gopal!
Gopal!
Govinda!
Govinda!
Murari Hari!
Murari Hari!
Many names they called. As they called, Krishna felt unable to neglect the call, the loving pull of his most beloved devotees. He could not stay separate any longer, but he felt he had to come. So he appeared before the gopis. He held his flute in the right hand. And with his left hand, he made this gesture. Do you know what this gesture means? I will give you protection. It was with this gesture that Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and held it up for 7 days and nights to provide a safe shelter from the rain torrents which Indra had sent. This sign means, I give you protection. Sometimes it is depicted the hand of the Lord goes like this, not like this. Some deities have hands, but the hand goes like this. Have you seen? You know what this gesture means? It means, aye, aye. come. Why do you stay there? Stop saying something. Come. Krishna is pointing out to his devotees like this.
At the same time, the deities who have this gesture, usually the eyes look down. He with this, the Lord says, come like this and surrender to my lotus feet. The Lord is so, everything is so, so fully developed. Anyways, the Lord came with his flute in the right hand and his finger, little finger held like this in the hand upstairs. And he said to them, here I am. And he stayed with the gopis, and the gopis would feed him, they decorated him with flowers. They massaged his limbs. They felt, maybe you are a little tired from holding your hand like this. And they massaged his arms. This way they spent a wonderful time until Krishna heard someone else shouting, oh Hari, oh Saka, oh Pranabandhu, life of our life. Can you imagine who this was? The devotees of Goloka Dhar, maybe. No, not quite. But he heard other devotees. His sakas, his cowherd friends. They had been grazing the cows nearby, and they had noted that Krishna had disappeared from them to be with the gopis. So they now felt, where is our Krishna? They became aggrieved in his separation. We hear that when the cowherd boys walked with Krishna through the forest, and for a fraction of a second, Krishna disappears behind a tree, you know, as he walks and passes by. The cowherd boys feel, oh, where is Krishna? And they call out for him, become almost mad in separation. So this time the cowherd boys had not seen their Krishna for a long time, and they cried for him very grievously, with tears of separation. Oh, hurry, Dave. Krishna said to the gopis, I have to go now. I have obligations. He said, you cannot go now. We do not allow you to go. Okay, said Krishna. And at that moment he manifested a deity. I leave this deity with me. No, said the gopis. We want you, not a deity. So then, the deity started to walk. This reminds us of Golden Tiger changing into deities and then changing into Golden Tiger. So the deity started to walk to the cowherd boys, and then the gopis understood. Okay, whatever the Lord wants. So from that day on, the Radharani and the gopis. Krishna had to satisfy both group of devotees. Radha, who said, always stay here with us. And the gopas, who said, oh friend, where are you? Where have you gone? So Krishna stayed there as a deity eventually with the gopis, and he went with the cowherd boys. It is said that from that day on, the gopis came daily to Manasarova, or Manasaganga, it's called Manasaganga, getting bewildered with another place. And they came to there, they saw Haridev, which Krishna had manifested from his own form, to show that he is identical with the deity. And every day, they came and decorated this Haridev deity. Do you know how many arms this deity has? someone of you says rightly forearms. Why? Because the elder gopas, the gopis, would object if their daughters would spend time with Krishna, but they would encourage the daughters to spend time with the forearm form, Narayan. So every day the gopis came to be with this form of Krishna, who looks like Narayan, but who is really Krishna, who had manifested to stay with the gopis. My dear devotees, I want to recommend you. You must see this deity. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Haridev, he began to dance in ecstasy. His personal love and beauty amazed the priests to such a degree that they offered him a very good reception. Lord Chaitanya remembered, O Lord, Krishna is so much bound by the love of his devotees that he appears before them to satisfy them in all respects. This is one of the qualities of Krishna which endears him to the devotees. He is Bhakta Priya, the dear friend of the devotees, or Bhakta Vatsala, the Vatsala of the Bhaktas. Vatsa means cow. No, it means calf. He makes himself dependent, like a calf on the cow. He makes himself dependent on his devotees. So when Lord Chaitanya remembered this pastime, he danced in such an ecstasy that all the priests thought, who is this miraculous sannyasi? Canto, Shukadeva Goswami describes this quality of Krishna, which I think is very nice to meditate about on this last day of the old year. He says that Krishna is bound by ropes of love, and that Krishna binds with the ropes of love. When Krishna goes with his cowherd boyfriends through Vrindavan, he has a rope on his shoulder, and playfully he sometimes takes that rope from one shoulder to the other, and when he is in a very decorative mood, he takes the rope off and binds it in his turban. This rope has a reddish color, and it has pearls, a cluster of pearls on both ends. It's called a Nir Yoga Pasha. It's part of the outfit of Krishna. This is something else, but it looks similar to this. And the Lord uses it for three purposes. One is, when he milks the cows, he will tie the calves so that they can't come and drink also the cow's milk, and there's nothing left. The second use is, he binds very tightly the cow legs on his very temperamental cows. But the third rope use, the third use of the rope, is that he binds the conditioned souls in this. I'm just trying to look at the baby. see Radharani as the rose there? Can you see? Or is it Krishna? Both. These are the Vyayoga Parshas, which the Lord saves the conditioned soul from the ocean of material life. Two devotees have been pulled by these ropes of mercy. Where is Deepak? I cannot see. Ah, Deepak, you have been pulled by the rope. You should make photos of the rope. This rope is a little invisible, because how can you... A rope of mercy is something immaterial. But the Lord uses this rope of mercy to pull us who have fallen into the material world and to lift us up. I've collected for you a few prayers to this rope of mercy. Would you like to hear one?
Yes.
Oh my Lord, by the fault of my own karma, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. How long must I struggle to keep from drowning? Swimming and swimming, I cannot find the end of this ocean. This huge ocean of birth and death has no end. Drowning, I scream, "Someone come! Someone come and save me!" At that moment you came. I knew you could take me to the shore. The seed of hope was planted within me. Oh, merciful Lord Krishna, now you have found me. O most merciful Lord, I will never leave you. O merciful Lord, now you have found Bhakti Vinod, who is worthless like a pile of ashes and who desperately needs your mercy. Narottamdas Thakur similarly prays, I request you to enter this picture. Imagine there is a ship. You are on the ship, and then somehow a gale comes. Gale is a fierce storm. Picks you up, throws you in the ocean. There are huge waves, and you scream and scream, but no one hears you because the storm is louder than your voice. And the ship moves in one direction, and you are becoming more separated, and the waves take you up and take you down. And this is the idea. O my Lord Madangopal, says Narottamdas Thakur, O Govinda, O Gopinath, in this ocean there are six powerful sharks, such as lust and anger. They drag me to many places. But you, aren't you the protector of the helpless? Please be merciful to this fallen soul. I am imprisoned in this formidable ocean of material existence. Kindly pick me up with the rope of your mercy. You must make a photo, not now, later, of that rope of the mercy. Pray every day steadily to this rope of mercy. Kindly pick me up. After a great deal of distress, you came into my life, but your illusory energy forcibly untied the rope of your compassion and again has placed me into the material existence. Please, therefore,
again be merciful to this fallen person and pick me up to your abode of brush by pulling me by the hair. If you have no hair, grow a seeker, you know, for this purpose. Or stick a seeker on your balding hair. At least do something in your heart that the Lord can grab your heart. Maybe the seeker is not that important. This is the only hope of my life. Otherwise, I'm ruined if you don't come and pick me up. So, Krishna has a rope, and the devotees pray to this rope, which he uses in his lila, in his braj pastimes, to bind the legs of the cows, and which he uses in his lila of saving the unfortunate souls of this world as a robe of mercy. Sometimes this rope is almost like a chain with one link after the other. Do you know what the chain is? It's a parampara. Parampara, you know the line of the cyclic succession. Grab somewhere. Prabhupada said, grab at the dhoti. We should grab Prabhupada's dhoti. Somehow we should connect with that chain. And then we should be uplifted. And when we uplift it, don't fall down again. Keep it. Keep your grip. Yeah. So Krishna himself is saving with the robe of mercy. But he himself also becomes bound by the rope of the love of his devotees. Once Vrinda Devi came to meet Radharani, and Radharani asked, "From where are you coming?" "Oh, I'm coming from Krishna." Vrinda Devi said, Radharani said, "Where is Krishna at the moment?" "At Radhakund he is." "Acha. And what is he doing at the moment?" Vrinda Devi said, "Oh Radha, he is dancing." So immediately Radharani became suspicious. "Who is his dance teacher?" "Don't worry," said Vrinda Devi. "It is your own image of love, Radha, which reveals itself in every tree and creeper, in every direction. This image is roaming like a skillful dancer, making him dance behind it." In other words, Krishna sees Radha in his eyes and sees how Radha, who is the best dancer in the Rasa dance circle, dances and then emulates or follows a movement. Do you know a secret? Once Krishna came to Radharani and asked, "Can you teach me to dance?" And Radha was very much willing, but Lalita, her girl companion, who wanted to increase the mellows of love between the divine couple, said, "Krishna, you are not qualified to become the pupil of Radharani. This is high level dancing and you only know very low level dancing. Some qualification is required to be admitted in the school of my Swamini, and you don't have even the minimum of qualification. Go to the sheep and learn dancing from them." Krishna felt rejected and very sad. He went into a distant place of the Vrindavan forest. Then he thought to himself, "I will learn from the image of Radha."
So he made with his own hands a little deity of Radharani. Must have been very beautiful. And then before the deity, he learned to dance. I mean, this is not a very expert dance movement, a very expert movement. So don't try to imitate the Lord. He learned to dance. And every day his dance performance became more expert, more attractive, more jubilant, more joyful. He danced, tatai, tatai. This is how he dances, how a lot of dance. And the animals in the forest saw this. So every day when Krishna took his dance time, you know, where he learned from this image of Radha, there was a lot of spectators. And they informed, the animals informed Radha. You know that Radha knows every little animal in Vrindavan, every deer, every squirrel, every bird, every creeper. They, of course, thought, Radha, you must see this, you must see this. So Radha and Lalita came, and they hid one day, and saw Krishna coming, pulling his dhoti together, paying his obeisances to Radharani. He was a deity. She made him offer fruits like you do when you approach your dance guru. And then, tatai! Tatai! He danced. And when the gopis saw this, there were only two gopis, Lalita and Radha, for a moment, Radha just said, Oh, is a word of great surprise and appreciation. Bow! Krishna heard. Who has said bow? And he saw. Radha couldn't keep herself hidden any longer. She came out. Krishna said, Oh, Guruji, by your mercy, I'm trying to dance. Still, I'm dancing a little bit like a sheep, but something is coming by your mercy. Now I have learned dancing by your mercy. You kindly now tell me, what is the Guru Dakshin I owe to you? And I looked to Lalita. He wants to give me a Guru Dakshin. What should I ask? Lalita didn't know the answer. For the first time, they stared at Krishna. Krishna, I said, and said, I have an idea. I will pay you back. I will give you my dakshin in a way which has never ever been done before, and which will never be done after this. I will move on a stage which moves. I will move on a stage which has light. I will show my gratitude in a dance. This is tradition when someone learns dancing from a dance teacher. The way to show the gratitude is not by a gift of money, but by a gift of your talent. In other words, you have to dance and show and make a dance evening where you show what you have learned from your teacher. So do you know how Krishna paid back his debt to Radha? It was on the day, which was the most unhappy day in Vrindavan and the most happy day. It was when the news came to the Brijbasis that a terrible monster snake called Kaliya had seized Krishna and pressed him in his coils, yes. Krishna had stayed for 48 minutes in the deadly embrace of Kaliya. All the Brijbasis had come and they fainted. The last ones who came were the gopis who saw their Krishna with this soft body in the, how do you call this, the embrace, the omklammerung, sagt man in Deutsch.
of Kalia, and they had fainted. But Krishna then nonchalantly broke free from the snake coils, and he started to dance on the hooves of Kalia. Tatai! This cannot be. The bridge passes out. But Krishna smiled. Tatai! And he started to dance on the moving stages of the 1,000, what was it, 100 prominent heads and 1,000 other heads. He danced, and you know what was the light? The rubies on the head of Kalia, which shone on his feet and made them glow in a beautiful light. And as Krishna was dancing, the demigods came, brought their drums and their wind instruments, and a huge concert came. It was really a dance performance like was never seen before. Ta-tai! From one thing to the next, one head to the next. Oh my dear devotees, if we can see this one day with our spiritual eyes, our eyes will become opened. Now, and then Krishna, after some time, invited all the gopis to come and dance with him. Because they were totally surrendered to Krishna, they followed his invitation. So I just wanted to highlight, maybe I got a little sidetracked here, because when you start to talk about wonderful Krishna, where do you stop? And something in you tells you, don't stop. I wanted to tell how Krishna himself is also, he's binding with the ropes of his own love, the devotees, but he himself becomes bound by the love of his devotees. And there is a verse like this, which I would like to stop this katha, from the Bhagavatam, where one of the Navayogendras, the nine saints, discusses how a devotee in this world can bind Krishna so that Krishna will not leave his heart. Would you like to know this verse? Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees, does not leave the heart of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively, like some devotees in Goloka Dham do because they're tired. So Krishna doesn't leave the hearts of the devotees if they remember and chant about him, even if it's not so super attentive. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. This verse talks about two devotees, those who are inattentive and those who are bound the Lord with the ropes of love. Even when you chant inattentively, the Lord comes and sits nearby. But if you chant with love, the Lord will not sit just nearby. He will not be satisfied to sit only on the side. He will come and he will sit in your heart. He will not be able to give you up.
Hare Rama. Yeah. Thank you.